Case for this morning is Banthia against Roche Diagnostics, 113290. Mr. Cummings, whenever you're ready.
Your Honors, if it may please the Court, my name is Paul Cummings. I represent the appellant, Visha Banthia, in her lawsuit against Roche Diagnostics claiming discrimination based on age and national origin. We're appealing the District Court's grant of summary judgment, wherein the Court held that Banthia failed to raise genuine issues of fact that, if believed, would prove that she met the employer's legitimate performance expectations. Since the Court ruled that that the plaintiff could not demonstrate that these expectations were met, it further held that the plaintiff could not demonstrate that the employer's proffered reason for its employment decision was pretextual. We believe the District Court is in error. In 2006, Roche announced its intent to reorganize the D.C. labs. The plan was to divide the existing scientists into three bands of scientists, L-band, Z-band, and G-band, with the G-band scientist being more of a lab tech than a scientist. From the beginning, the defendant had in mind that there were three scientists that would be classified as a lab tech, one of them being the plaintiff, one of them being a Russian-born scientist over the age of 50, and one of them was an American-born scientist under the age of 40 who was terminated prior to the mapping exercise.
Now, let me ask you, I mean, it seems very normal to me that an employer might have a general sense of who the stronger performers are in a department and who the people who are ready for more responsibility are. And so I find it hard to attach any negative weight to the fact that they recognize these three people as maybe the better candidates for the lab tech level.
That may be true, though Banthia's performance evaluations always met the employer's legitimate performance expectations.
But that was for a job as a lab tech, as I understand it. I mean, it requires care and precision and the like, but it wasn't, there's pretty standardized, just standard operating procedures, right?
Well, the job that she was doing prior to her demotion, there's evidence on the record that the scientists that were hired to fill the Z-band positions were doing the exact.
Do these letters have any meaning at all?
I don't know.
Okay.
But those scientists that were hired to fill the Z-band positions were doing substantially the same work that Banthia was doing prior to her demotion. So, you know, the performance, in order to classify these scientists, they implemented a mapping exercise that was based on four factors, all with varying amounts of weight: seniority, adaptability, promotability, the 2003, 4, and 5 performance evaluations, and the biggest category was the 9 key success factors. Banthia, with 18 years seniority, far exceeded expectations in that category. She met expectations in regard to promotability. She met expectations in regard to her performance evaluations through 2005. Where she allegedly fell short was in the 9 key success factors. In those factors, there were 9 factors, and she received zeros in 4 of those categories.
But wasn't there, I mean, I remember the mapping exercise, but wasn't there a concern about her computer skills and a sense that that's, as in so many industries, I'm sure it is happening at Roche, that that's a direction in which the company is moving, and there comes a point where you just can't work with somebody who doesn't have adequate skills?
Well, there was some mention in her 2004-2005 performance evaluations that I would like to challenge, her supervisor said, I would like to challenge Visha to improve her computer skills. But there was also some comments related to the fact that she had come up to speed on certain pieces of software as well. So I think it's a question for a jury whether or not a comment that I want to challenge you to improve your computer skills rises to the level of you're just not cutting it, or, you know, we all have.
What anybody was saying to her, what we have going on And I guess I'm having trouble seeing how it links to either her national origin or her age. We have going on kind of a sorting process. We have a department that's had one classification. Now we're going to have three. We're sorting people to decide who goes in which level. And the lack of a certain set of skills would tend to put you in, as it were, a lower level.
Well, the mapping exercise, the key success factors, one of the things that we call into question is, an example, one of the areas that she received a zero was expertise in running analytical equipment, and specifically the HPLC and the FTIR.
What's an FTIR?
All I can say is that it's analytical equipment.
You get a zero. I see you just got a zero, but go ahead.
Yeah. I guess. So she received a zero in this category, despite the fact that she used these pieces of equipment on a daily basis.
They argue that they were looking for more than just the ability, you know, to use it in a mechanical way, kind of understanding what's wrong with it. You know, the difference between me working with my computer, where the only thing I could do is turn it off when it isn't working, and the IT people who actually know how to fix it. So they want the people who have a more thorough understanding, I thought, from their description.
Well, another scientist, Snyder, received a 3, far exceeds expectations, despite the fact that he provided evidence that he had never used the FTIR and had just recently been trained on the HPLC.
But didn't he have very good computer skills? Wasn't he going around training other people and lots of other things?
Well, he testified that he didn't have great analytical skills in his deposition.
Yeah, he hadn't analyzed himself properly.
No.
Yeah. So. Okay.
So, you know, based on the mapping exercise, 4 scientists were slotted for demotion. 3 were foreign-born. 1 was African-American. All were over the age of 40. You know, nowhere on her prior evaluations did it indicate that she was not meeting expectations in the use of the analytical equipment in some of these other areas. Even the mapping exercise itself indicated she met expectations in prior years on her performance evaluations. So, after the mapping exercise was complete, she received a 2006 performance evaluation. And that performance evaluation, after the fact, indicated she met expectations, but it noted 2 areas where she failed to meet expectations. And one area had to do with an audit was performed, and it was noticed that she had failed to wear gloves and failed to check the calibration of an instrument. Her supervisor noted in the evaluation that they were isolated incidents, and that he had noticed a change in behavior already, and she was meeting his expectations by the time he did the performance evaluation. The other indicated that, you know, she needed to have more confidence in herself, and he further went on to note that that was more, in his mind, that had to do with the short period of time that she had spent on the job, and felt that she would solidify her skills as she went on. But the district court ruled that performance evaluation in 2006 was not only evidence that she wasn't meeting the employer's legitimate performance expectations, but also reinforced the legitimacy of the mapping exercise, which we feel was not fairly administered. So in the meantime, after the mapping exercise is complete and the decision has been made to demote Banthia, that decision has not been communicated to her, and the company is hiring new scientists to fill these positions, and these scientists are all Caucasian Americans around the age of 25 to 30. You know, the employer states that its reason for restructuring the department the way it did was an FDA warning letter that was 2 years old by the time that they had even begun the process of talking about the restructuring. You know, whether or not it's an honestly held belief by the employer that was We have to, I think we have to look at the reasonableness of, the, of that belief, and I think the long period of time that transpired from the time that they received this warning letter, and it was so extremely urgent that they take steps to address the FDA's concerns, and then 2 years later they're actually getting around to doing it, I think brings into question the reasonableness of their assertion that it was the FDA warning letter that prompted this behavior.
Okay, if you want to save just a second for rebuttal, this would probably be a bet. Mr. Yerkes. I think I can still say good morning, barely.
Barely. Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Judge Barker's opinion in this matter, granting summary judgment, should be granted or upheld because she properly concluded that the plaintiff had presented no objective evidence that she could perform the task that had been identified as critical to performing the Z-band scientist position. Looking at the record, it's clear for 18 years, Ms. Bantia did an acceptable job of performing the tasks of a lab tech. She met expectations in that position. She remains an employee of Roche today. She testified in her deposition for 18 years with the same either immediate or ultimate supervisor in Greg Smith. He was her immediate supervisor in 89, the ultimate supervisor when the alleged discriminatory action took place. She was never discriminated against based on her national origin or age. She also has testified she was never discriminated after this discrete decision about whether or not she and others were acceptable Z-band scientist candidates. Her track record and the evaluations that she was presented with relating to her performance in those jobs clearly demonstrate that she was capable at performing the rote testing procedures, but there had been a long-term expression of lack of confidence in her to get deeper. And I would ask, Your Honors, if you look at the 2004 through 2006 evaluations and look at the continuity in the comments, counsel for plaintiff referred to in his brief and in to the court now about the alleged comment, I challenge Visha to increase her computer and software knowledge. That's in the 2004 evaluation. Note that 2004 evaluation would have been prepared after the FDA warning letter had issued. 2004 evaluation prepared at the beginning of 2005. So he's looking backward and he's starting to suggest to her, you need to do more given what we are beginning to expect from these scientist positions. In 2005, he is again emphatic about it and says, I would like to see her become more comfortable and autonomous with these software applications. She has had to learn some difficult software applications used in testing. Goes on to say, I would like also like her to continue to develop computer skills. I challenge her to grow her troubleshooting abilities, etc. Clearly signaling in 2005 that as a scientist, and he says this specifically in the evaluation, you are going to be expected to do more in the future. Please step up. In 2006, that is captured once again, and he emphasized that the expectation for a scientist is to do more than day-to-day testing, the need to originate process improvements, execute change notice procedures, and ensure practices line up with documented procedures. He also, again, indicated that there were some challenges with respect to her computer skills. So that, in 2006, plus the deficiencies which had been brought to Engels, the evaluating supervisor's attention, by an independent audit person about the errors that she made while performing her duties in the lab, came together to form a pretty clear picture of a candidate who was equipped to perform the lab tech functions, but not equipped to move to the next level, which were the Z-band scientists.
Now, there is a salary difference, I take it, from the record.
There is, Your Honor.
So in a sense, she loses money when she's put in the G-band, right?
She does, Your Honor.
That's a demotion. You sort of fudge that in your brief, but it is a demotion.
It is a demotion. Wasn't trying to fudge it. Was trying to simply bring to the court's attention to understand why it is perfectly understandable why she would not be considered a candidate for the Z-band. It's because she really hadn't been doing that Z-band work over the course of time. They retitled her in 1991, and her deposition testimony, I asked her specifically on three occasions, did your duties change? And she said, I don't remember. She never identified a specific change in the duties that were allocated to her. She testified in response to a direct question. Nobody ever told her her duties would be different. She was a scientist in name, in title. As Mr. Carr testified in 2003, he well before this FDA issue arose, said, I thought that our scientists were over-titled. And, in fact, it's probably one of the things that had led to the quality problems overall in the organization, which they addressed. The demotion, I will say this, Your Honor, it is true she lost some salary, but she was paid at the highest possible salary band for the G-band scientist. Mr. Smith, who was her personal friend and then her ultimate supervisor, once again tried to make sure that she fared as well as she could.
No, I was just trying to be realistic. Most people would define earning less money, you know, to this degree especially, as a demotion. And so one of the consequences for her and for Roche is you spread out the people more and you spread out the salary ranges more.
Absolutely. And on that point, which I think is explains sort of the continuity and her responsibilities and what happened here, when there were lab techs in the beginning in the lab and they were moved to the scientist title, they completely eliminated the lab tech classification. There was never a time after 2000 where there were scientists and lab techs working together in the QC lab. Eventually, they're all scientists doing the same things they did at lab techs. At this time in 2007, when they decided we really need to differentiate the accountabilities, they did make a differentiation in wage as well, so that now you had lab techs and scientists really for the first time working in the QC lab. So it was inevitable, given the fact that you were going to have people with more responsibility and higher level of accountability receiving more compensation than those who did not move to that same band. So it's a function of the fact that the past management had seen fit to simply eliminate lab tech, and then they had to recreate it, and that created some salary differentials. You will see in the record that with respect to Ms. Banthia's evaluations, and I think this is very important, every evaluation I went through with her, I asked, was it fair? Did you have any concerns that you were being discriminated against? Did you tell the Roche or Mr. Ingalls that you disagreed with his evaluation? The answer is no. I asked her the wrap-up question, did the evaluation sort of fairly describe your performance, what you had done, and what you had achieved? And she said yes. So this isn't a case where there was any disagreement or suspicion that Mr. Ingalls was trying to misrepresent her performance or that she indicated to Roche that she believed it had been misrepresented. She was fine. Where she wasn't fine was when, to use the phrase mismanaged expectations, when she was told that, you know, we titled you a scientist, you're really not doing a scientist job, you're doing a lab tech, we need to make this distinction. You know, she was upset. She'd been a scientist. She lost the title scientist.
And we most get that. Of the other people who suffered the same fate were also in the above 40 age range, right? And many of them were not of U.S. national origin.
All of the individuals that went into the Z-band, Your Honor, were all over 40. I think the district court, in the last sentence of her opinion, Judge Barker's opinion, said, look, there's no evidence of age discrimination. You know, really, if there's anything in play here, it's the national origin. Of the persons that did go into that band, Vlad Gashalkin had been on a performance improvement plan, so he had documented performance issues, unlike anybody else that had been promoted to the Z band. Ms. Banthia was the only person in 2006 who had these issues that were documented by the independent quality audit. The other person came from the other lab, Your Honor, the code lab, was under the direct supervision of the code lab supervisor, Jamie. So she did move into that G-band as well, but all of them were differentiated in some respect, in significant respects in terms of their performance from those that ended up in the Z-band. Vlad never complained or filed a charge. Ms. Vaya never complained or filed a charge. Ms. Banthia is the only one that expressed any concerns or reservations about Roche's motivations in making this change in that time. Very briefly, with the minute I have left, with respect to the FDA, I think Judge Barker got it exactly right when she observed the decision how to respond to that FDA letter is one which the Seventh Circuit, this court, has reserved, deferred to management on. What we have to be judged on is the process we used after we'd executed that strategy or devised that strategy to pick who are the people that were going into those various positions. So the strategy we used to try to overcome a very serious matter, an FDA matter, that could have cost us our opportunity to continue making a product, that can't be questioned. How we implemented those changes certainly can be, and I believe that this record demonstrates that Roche handled it in a fair and even-handed way, meeting what its immediate business issues were. At the end of the day, Ms. Banthia wants to substitute her subjective views of her work and how well she worked at Roche for Roche's. In the absence, however, of one statement, one document, one dissenting view.
Okay, I think we have your point.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Cummings?
Ms. Banthia is not the one who filled out her performance appraisals. Her employer did. And just looking back, some things that I think speak to the categorization of a lab tech blindly following standard operating procedures. In 2004, they noted Visha is good at soliciting assistance from the correct resources when issues arise. She will often know exactly whom to contact to get appropriate support for any issue in question. This ability saves time and energy and reduces frustration. Also goes on to say, I will challenge Visha to make sure that she holds teammates accountable for their portion of the workload. In 2005, Visha makes sure to use only current and approved standard operating procedures. She understands the requirements and the importance of this. Visha is able to learn some difficult software applications used in testing for the new Aviva product. She is able to effectively use the software for processing and data analysis with limited assistance from others. Excuse me. I would like to see her become more comfortable and autonomous with these applications. And then in 2006, where she's counseled to an extent about the lack of gloves and the checking the calibration, she's counseled that it's critically important now more than ever that we follow our procedures as they are written, and if any issues are noticed during execution, they need to be brought to the attention of the supervisor.
Okay. I think we'll have to wrap up. Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement. Thanks to both counsel. The court will be in recess.